B-Pod Studios.
The Mike Missinelli Show. The Fanatic.
4 o'clock hour brought to us by Landisblock, your one-stop shop to create a jaw-dropping outdoor paradise. Just check them out online at landisbc.com. They bring us the 4 o'clock hour, and they bring us our regular Friday guest. I missed him from last week. A day off. Missed the great number 36, Brian Westbrook, who's posted. He posts the cutest pictures, Natalie. Have you noticed this?
Yes.
About B. Westbrook?
Yes.
He raised his kids.
I know. Father of the year. He's so sweet.
Number 36, Brian Westbrook. I hear him laughing in the background. What's up, B. West?
Good afternoon, Mike. How are you, my friend?
Good. Your daughter's pretty fast, huh?
She is fast. She is really, really, really fast. And I'll tell you what, she didn't want to run. She hates being outside. She hates the bugs. She hates being hot. She doesn't want to do anything to do with being outside. And so I have to trick her and bribe her into being outside these days, which is kind of crazy for a 6-year-old.
Well, she's a little prissy miss a little early in her life, huh?
A little early. A little early for my liking. Yeah, a little early.
All right. Well, you never know. She may turn out to be the world's greatest athlete. See her in the Olympics.
She better figure it out pretty doggone quick. Right now, we're working on getting her prepared to get back to school, which is a whole different world.
Oh, what grade is she in?
She was going to first grade.
Oh, that's a big step.
Yeah. Exciting times.
No more kindergarten. First grade. All right, let's talk about last night. And
Mike, before we get there, I got to tell you some exciting news. This is really important.
What you got?
Tomorrow afternoon at 12 p.m., the first college football kickoff, Villanova at the University of Colgate. Tune in. I'm glad Tyrone's not there because he would be hating.
That's tomorrow?
Tomorrow afternoon.
That's going up against FanFest? What, are you kidding me? That's a bad day for the opener, for the Cats.
You're right about that. You're right.
All right.
We'll get a win, though.
You will. Against Colgate? I don't know. Colgate's pretty tough, bro. Is Colgate a favorite? Colgate's favored.
No way.
Yes. -2. Goodness.
This is crazy.
What's Colgate's nickname? I don't even know their nickname. What is it?
I don't even know.
I think that the Raiders.
The Raiders?
That
of Colgate?
Right. That sounds
What's
right.
Colgate noted for? Is Colgate like noted for something?
Toothpaste.
Toothpaste. Come on, man. All right, let's talk about the game. Now, interestingly enough, I don't know how much you played in preseason. I don't know what Andy's the idea about preseason was, but I looked at this list of Donovan McNabb averaged in 10 years 3.1 games per preseason. So they weren't afraid to play number 5.
Well, I'll tell you this. Andy believed, and you see, he believes in the same thing out there in Kansas City, that you want your guys to be ready to go at the beginning of the season. And really, in today's day and age, and you look back to 2017, you win the Super Bowl, home field advantage played a big part. Of course, if you get the Vikings at home after that big win, that upset when I think it was down there in New Orleans, if you get them at home, it's a different story. However, we got them here. They had to come here to play the NFC Championship game. Made all the difference in the world. And so when you start kind of slow, based on not playing in the preseason, sometimes it's just not effective. And Andy always believed, we're going to work our butts off and we're going to play in the preseason. And, you know, it wasn't a bunch. We didn't play, you know, series upon series. In that first game, we probably get 4 or 5 plays, maybe a series. The second game, we probably play the first quarter. In the third game, we would try to get into the second half. But if we were playing well or something crazy happened, then he would take us out. But for the most part, Andy believed in playing his starters, especially in the preseason.
All right, there are a couple things here. It was last night on the postgame show, NBC Sports Philly, Seth Joyner was really upset that he hasn't played in the preseason and is not going to play in the preseason because of the game speed aspect. Now, the counter to that is he already knows what NFL speed is, so I don't know how much more he's going to have to gain as measured against whether he can get hurt or not. So what is your overall philosophy of not playing him, Carson Wentz, this preseason?
Well, I think it goes down to, do you have a backup, and what's the propensity of your quarterback to get hurt? The truth is, you want your quarterback, really any position, to take the least amount of shots as you can. You already have a quarterback that's been injured you know, two of the last 3 years, why would you risk it? In my opinion, and I know Seth, he knows way more football than me, and he's been around the game for a very long time. However, you got to risk, you know, risk versus reward. What's the reward that if Carson Wentz goes out and plays in the preseason? Yeah, maybe a little bit sharper, maybe a little bit, you know, he understands the speed of the game a little bit more. The you know, that's the really the reward. The risk is you get him hurt and your season's lost. Then there's no purpose in bringing back Darren Sproles. No purpose of bringing back Kelce and Peters and all those guys, those veterans that you're bringing back for one last hurrah so you can get things done. DeSean Jackson. You know, it doesn't make any sense. So the reason why you preserve your quarterback in this situation, and that outweighs the speed of the game and all those other things, is because you know how valuable he is, and you also know the talent that you have on this football team. And to me, it's a no-brainer. You don't play the kid, and if that means he starts slow for the first quarter or two or even the first game, it doesn't really matter because you don't have anyone else to back him up anyway. So really, it doesn't matter whether he starts slow or not. You allow him to get up to game speed in the game. That's why you preserve.
See, I can't allow that. I'm with you until we get to that. If they're saying he's getting enough in practice and he's getting enough in that two-day scrimmage with the Ravens, then I expect him to be sharp right away. I can't afford to have him get up to game speed as the game's going on.
Well, of course they're going to say that because that's the rationale behind not playing him. So, of course, they're going to say that. No, he can get enough at practice. Of course, they're going to say that. But I think the game speed probably is going to be different. There's no doubt about that. You can't duplicate game speed and intensity and thought process in practice. It's not possible. However, you can get close to it, and I think that's what you want to do in those joint practices with the Ravens this past week. But at the same time, you can't get close to game speed. It's just not possible. The only time that he's going to get real game speed with real threats of pressure hitting him is in the game. I mean, you can't. And even if you can get the same speed in practice, without the threat that you can get hit in the back, you have to worry about Jason Peters missing the block or Lane Johnson or anyone else, the running back missing on the blitz. Without that thought in your mind, you'll never get close to what you will be thinking in the game. Impossible.
All right, I guess one of the reasons why Andy wouldn't be afraid to play McNabb is that, you know, Donovan was a solid guy. He was like a very hardy guy. You're talking about 230. And
he didn't have the injuries.
Yeah, right. He wasn't as fragile maybe as Carson Wentz is. So I get that part of it. But the first team did play last night a couple series, and frankly it was underwhelming. And that's pretty natural. These guys are just trying to survive, get out of preseason. But how much do you think it weighs in that the Eagles now know what is being said about them, that they are a bona fide Super Bowl contender? And what is the risk that they will like slack off because of that rep? You know, they think they can go into games and just win games because the league thinks they're one of the best teams in the league. How do you guard against that, or is that not a problem?
Well, I'm going to ask you this question, Mike. You seem like the type of guy that you kind of go about life with a little chip on your shoulder a little bit from time to time, right?
Maybe.
Look, a small chip.
Yeah, all right. Yeah, you always have something to prove. I get that. Yeah,
that propels you forward. That makes you work a little bit harder. That makes you go the extra mile, the extra effort.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the same thing for this football team. And I'm not saying that they haven't gone the extra mile. However, when you're the underdog, when nobody thinks that you can do it, nobody believes that you can go out there and make it into the NFL for Brian Westbrook or play anything other than third down for Brian Westbrook, then at that point, that's a chip on your shoulder. That's a motivation. And I think this team was able to conquer the world, win the world championship with that chip on their shoulder, that they were underdogs. Nobody respected us. Nobody gave us a chance. You heard the Kelce speech at the parade deal there. And so I think it's a different thought process. It's a different mentality. And not to say that these guys haven't matured enough to handle that, because I think they have. I think they have enough veterans on this football team to be able to handle it. However, it's a different thought process. It's a different mentality when you're the favorite versus when you're not. And everybody thinks that you're the underdog. At this point, everybody believes in them. This team will have to overcome an awful lot this season to win. I mean, every year you have to overcome a lot. You saw that in 2017. You overcome your quarterback getting hurt. This year, I think they will have to overcome some things, probably injuries, probably some setbacks, maybe losing some games that they shouldn't lose. However, if you're a good team, like everyone thinks this team is, you should be able to overcome those things.
All right, so you think the rep can maybe trap them into believing they're as good as the people think they are, and they have to overcome that?
I think teams that are not veteran-led, which this team is. Mm-hmm. I mean, you have Jason Peters that's played forever. You have Malcolm Jenkins on the defensive side, Fletcher Cox, all those guys. I mean, I can go up and down the list. This team has veterans, and it also has a good mix of young guys. So, mm-hmm. I mean, this is actually the perfect point. When I came up to the Eagles, we had a bunch of old heads. We had a bunch of veterans. Troy Vincent, Hugh Douglas, Bobby Taylor, Deuce Daly, Donovan, Trey, Runyon. We had a bunch of old guys. But we also had a good mix of young guys. Myself, Lito, Sheldon Brown, Michael Lewis. Young guys that had to come into play. And that's what you really want on a team. You want your team to be led by the veterans. However, you need that young infusion of youth, but also excitement and ability to go out there and ball. And that means from the first game until the 16th game of the season.
All right. Let's call on a man who covered the game last night. He's been covering the Eagles for ESPN.com. He's brought to us by Training Camp. Get IT certified fast at Training Camp. Online at TrainingCamp.com. Tim McManus joins us. Timmy, finally the preseason is over, right? There's one more game, but I don't think anybody cares.
We're getting
it. Now, you have to cover it. I get it, but last night we got our final.
I was not angry about.
Yeah, our final views came last night. So, what are your final views here?
I think the number one thing to take away from yesterday's game was the fact that Josh McCown came in 5 days post retirement and looked like a capable quarterback. He had only a handful of plays that he was working with. You can't buy too much into what you see in the preseason, but the fact that he was able to operate at a level higher than really we've seen out of any Eagles quarterback this preseason, given that he only practiced 3 days the whole year, allows for a little bit more comfort about what's backing up Carson Wentz entering week one anyway. So I thought that was the number one development. And number two for me was the fact that Rodney McLeod was out there and also looked like he was running around pretty well. And that's a big question about how that knee is going to respond and whether he can be the guy next to Malcolm Jenkins that the Eagles defense needs him to be. And I thought that he was emitting some pretty positive signs. So I think those were the two big takeaways for me last
year. Yeah, I agree with you on McCown. It was frankly mind-boggling that he was able to do that. And he delivered that one touchdown strike with two guys coming in his face and getting ready to rip him. So as it sits, you think McCown, even when Sudfeld comes back, McCown will be the backup, the number two?
You know, I think it seems like it's trending that way. I don't know that they've made that determination fully, but the amount of money that he got guaranteed, and certainly I don't think he hurt himself by what he was able to show in pretty short order. And also, you know, guys have gravitated to McCown pretty instantly. Already you can see that he's been winning people over in the locker room, and I think it's impressive when he just gets here and he's like resetting calls at the line of scrimmage, and directing traffic and doing all this pre-snap stuff. Granted, he's got 17 years of NFL experience, but he's brand new in this offense and is taking command all of a sudden. So, yeah, I do think it's kind of trending in that direction for him.
Well, all right, let's look at the running back last night. I actually think, and Brian, you can chime in on this, I think that Josh Adams played his way out of a spot, and if Smallwood plays well next week, which I think he'll play, he'll get that final spot. What did you think, Tim and Brian?
Well, yeah, I'm curious to hear what B. West says here, but yeah, Adams had the drop, and I think that he was kind of working uphill anyway. I mean, are they even going to go past four running backs is one question, and then would Adams be the next guy in is the next. I think right now the odds aren't looking great for him to make the team.
Yeah, you know, I just think when you're in his position, you're the fourth or fifth guy, you're fighting for a position, you just can't make any mistakes. I saw him miss on the blitz pickup. I saw Adams obviously drop the ball. He hasn't flashed, and we talk about this all the time. When you're in a position you're trying to make a team, you have to flash. You have to show something. A special teams play would do it. A catch that nobody thought that you could make. A block, whatever that is. And unfortunately, in this situation, he hasn't flashed enough for him to say, hey, we'll take a flyer on this guy because he's a great special teams guy, or we can use him in this situation on offense. And unfortunately, he hasn't shown enough to be able to allow the team to believe that.
And there was a play that I know both of you guys noticed that he did catch the ball on that that the play to the left where he was headed to. He had a head of steam going to the end zone. And he kind of pulled up, Timmy.
Yeah, and he's had some fumbling issues to go along with all that. I think that there's just that coupled, I think, with the ongoing sort of health concerns with him, like will the knee ever be right? You know, I think you put all those things together, and it's probably not looking great for him to make this team. Now, maybe he latches on somewhere, but because of the depth that running back that this position has kind of accrued during the offseason, I don't think it looks great for Adams.
All right. What else did you see last night that that we can use? It's funny how we look at this team now, and we're looking at like the backup right tackle. We're looking at the fifth wide receiver or running back. Mailata played a lot last night. Are they confident that he can be the backup to a guy?
I know that Jeff Statlin remains high on what Mailata's upside is, but also that he's a work in progress. And there's three penalties from Mailata on that night. A couple of them, like right back to back. And I think that there's still some smoothing out, certainly some polish that he still needs. But also, I mean, he is capable enough generally where I think that if they needed to put him into the game, they think that he could do a serviceable job, but obviously would rather have a little bit more time with him before they put him in that situation.
All right. What about the linebackers last night? It looked like McSorley was able to complete a lot of passes in that area.
Yeah, Fort and Gary both made plays. I did note that. So maybe a little bit of a better performance for parts of the game from the linebacking core. But as you said, McSorley was having his way during other parts, which you don't want to see. So I think that's really one that remains a question mark and will hover over this team certainly heading into September. Especially with Nigel Bradham still recovering from that toe surgery and with Kamu Grugier-Hill going to be on ice for a couple weeks, it looks like that they're really going to have to rely on other pieces on defense and hope that they get some good play out of the linebackers. But I just don't think that you can depend on a high level of play entering the season.
You know, Tim, one of the guys that I think is going to play a big part in this season is Sidney Jones. And I saw him a little bit out there. I saw him get beat on the player. So, you know, what have you seen from him? What could we expect from him? Really, Rasul Douglas, as we go into this season, are we secure with our guys in the secondary as far as the cornerback positions?
You know, it wasn't the greatest outing for Rasul Douglas. He had the one missed tackle. It was pretty big. It took out Malcolm Jenkins on the Miles Boykin kind of long catch and run. Sidney Jones, one thing, I mean, first off, you know, he was starting on that left side with Maddox coming in the slot, and this was the quote-unquote dress rehearsal. And we've seen Jim Schwartz use a couple different combinations with either Sidney Jones working in the slot or Avante Maddox on the outside. But here's the third preseason game, and there's Jones lining up at that left cornerback spot, and that might be a tell for what we're going to see on the opener, which means that, you know, Jones it becomes a very key figure very quickly while they're waiting for Jalen Mills to recover from his foot injury. On the other side with Rasul Douglas, you know, it's basically the people who have been operating there have been Ronald Darby and Douglas. And if Darby is healthy, I think he's going to be commanding that spot, which puts Rasul Douglas in kind of a secondary role. But it looks very probable that Jones is going to be in a primary role. And I think that generally what we've seen this summer, there have been positive signs. Number one, he's been healthy. He hasn't missed a single practice. Number two, he's been showing some of that athleticism and skill set that made him a high prospect coming out before he tore his Achilles. But he's got to prove it. I mean, you know, he hasn't proven it consistently on this level. And this is a season where they're looking at, okay, if this defense wants to be where it needs to be, they're going to have guys in that secondary step up at cornerback, and who better than Sidney Jones to do it?
All right, Tim, it's all over now as far as Carson Wentz, and they got away with not playing him in the preseason, and Seth Joyner last night was lamenting the fact that that he didn't play, saying that, and we checked, 20 starting quarterbacks around the league saw some action in preseason. So what Seth was worried about was that he's not going to be up to game speed because he didn't play in preseason. How meritorious is that view, and what do you think about it?
I think that there is going to be some rust to knock off. And I think that's one, because of the long layoff that Wentz has had. And two, that I think that he's going to be kind of transitioning into Carson Wentz 2.0 a little bit, where he's going to be attacking in a different way, trying to operate primarily out of the pocket. And there's going to be those times, I think, of like, do I run here, or am I the new Carson Wentz? And is there hesitation? And I think there is going to be some of that feeling out process that's going on, which adds to the argument of people who are saying, well, he should be in the preseason working some of these kinks out. And I think it's okay to recognize that there are benefits to him being on the field in the preseason without losing, you know, what most people, a lot of people have shifted to their side of the argument, and this is the side that I'm on, which is it's just not worth it. Like, you would get benefit from him playing in the preseason, but it's not worth the risk that you would be assuming by putting him out there and having him get injured. And I think you saw evidence with that. Carolina was playing at the same time the Eagles were, and you saw Cam Newton walk into the tunnel healthy, and he walked out in a walking boot. And all of a sudden, there's a question mark over that team and that season as a result of it. I mean, so I think that that Wentz might be rusty. I think that Wentz might have some feeling out process when the season begins, and I think he may have benefited from preseason work. But I still understand why they didn't put him out there and think that it'll be worth kind of the early rust in order to have kind of shepherded him to the starting line healthy.
But I can't wait for the conversation. If the Eagles lose that game and he's rusty in game one, how do you think this fan base will react? Oh my God, are you kidding me?
Of course.
They will go nuts.
They would have reacted the same way if Carson Wentz got hurt in the preseason.
Yeah, you're right. You're right about that.
It would have been worse if he got hurt.
Yeah, it would have been.
Preseason. It would be all over. So I think that's, yeah. And people are going to overreact. And he's got so many weapons around him that he has looked pretty good this summer that maybe it is smooth starting out. But I think we have to at least kind of expect the possibility that it's not perfect as they start out.
All right. Timmy, always a pleasure. We will talk to you next week.
All right, guys. Have a good weekend.
All right. Tim McManus brought to us by Training Camp. Get IT certified fast at Training Camp online at trainingcamp.com. You know, I got to give your boy Five some credit here. Because I'm looking at his numbers in preseason. He played four games his rookie year, which is, you know, they want to see what they have. But in the subsequent seasons where he played three games, in 2005, he played three games, threw 51 passes, Brian. In 2008, three games, 54 passes. 2009, three games, 61 passes. That was later in his career. They didn't care about him getting hurt. They dropped him back.
Well, some people believe that you have to go out there and work and get better. And the preseason is the opportunity to get better. And but Mike, you also got to understand, we weren't into load management back then. We weren't into resting players. We were into getting better every single day. It's a different world right now. The game has totally evolved into something different. And really, I think if you were ever to challenge Doug, maybe you say to Doug, well Doug, because you guys have put Carson in on some plays where he had max protection, where the odds of him getting hit are very, very low. Well, you know the running back's going to be in, or he has some hot throws that he can get the ball out of his hands pretty quickly. Or talk to Carson and say, listen, we want you to go in. We want you to hand the ball off and not put yourself in any risk. Is it worth doing that? And so that's the other side to this thing. Do you have the ability to protect your quarterback through some max protection types of things and allow him to get into the game mode in some reps during the preseason that way? That may be another option.
All right, quick question, maybe we go to a break. In retrospect, the hard harder camps that Andy put you guys through, get ready, you got to play hard preseason, take that into the season. In retrospect, did that help or hinder your career?
I think that it hindered me to a certain extent. I think that it hurt us, especially early on in our seasons, but it made us stronger towards the end. So it's kind of a six in one hand, half a dozen in the other. But me personally, being tackled to the ground, getting beat up in the same way that we did back then, opposed to the way that they do practice now, it had to take a year or two off your career. It's just because Andy was a physical, nasty training camp. Wow. That's just how he did things.
All right, take a break. We'll come back. Brian Westbrook will be with us until 5. 610-622-0975. Two lines are open. Get in. Mike Mussinelli Show continues after this.
The Mike Mussinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
The Fanatic.
All right, it's time for a Twitter poll update. Brought to us by Paul B. Moyer and Sons with Miss Natalie Eganoff. Natalie.
Thanks. Thanks, Mike.
Did I catch you off guard again?
Well, I was just recording a video on Twitter to talk about FanFest.
Oh, you are?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Just to give some more, if people didn't hear you earlier.
Did I just interrupt the video?
No, I was finishing up, but it just takes a minute. But here, hold on. Here's our poll.
All right.
I'm sorry.
That's all right. Go ahead.
Oh, it's not pinned. Okay. Over 1,200 votes on this one so far. Are you fine with not seeing Carson at all this preseason? 83% say yes, 17% say no.
Oh,
so
it
changed a little bit.
That pretty much does it right there, that 83%. Brian, you like funny movies?
I do like funny movies.
What are some of your good comedies that you
like? You know, I was laughing because I was listening to your list a little bit earlier, and I love Step Brothers. I love
Step Brothers.
I love Will Ferrell. I really, really do.
Yeah, I like him some of the time.
Really?
Yeah, I don't like him all the time. Like, I didn't like Old School, but I love...
Old School's a classic.
Yeah, Anchorman's funny to me. Old School's not that funny.
Old School's a classic. Anchorman is hilarious. I mean, I like his stuff. I like Vince Vaughn. I like his stuff.
Uh-huh.
I think he's pretty funny. I mean, I also like old stuff like Harlem Nights. You remember that movie back in the day?
Yes, loved Harlem Nights.
All those guys.
Yeah, Eddie Murphy and Richard Pryor.
Yeah. I mean, so, yeah. I mean, I do like comedy. It's pretty good.
All right. Did you like Dodgeball?
No, that was so that had some funny moments, but it was kind of corny. It was like,
yes, I agree with
this.
That
is unbelievable.
This is Andrew's favorite movie, Dodgeball. That tells you all you need to know about him. But let me throw some of your way, Nat. All right,
yeah.
First of all, Wedding Crashers to me is overrated, and it has occurred to me that I have an Owen Wilson problem.
There's a lot of people who don't like him.
I have an Owen Wilson problem. I admit to having an Owen Wilson problem. Interestingly enough, I don't have a Luke Wilson problem. Although I don't think Old School is that funny.
Okay. I love Old School.
All right. Let me throw a couple at you.
Okay.
Friday.
Hilarious.
All right. Coming to America.
Hilarious.
All right. Anything Eddie Murphy's in is funny.
He's one of the things, I think, the all-time greats.
All right. Now I'm going to go Old School. Not so Old School. Trains, Planes, Automobiles.
I don't think I've ever seen that.
All right. Now we'll go way older school because Steve Martin has two older movies that are hilarious.
Okay.
One is called The Jerk.
I've never seen that.
And the other is A Man with Two Brains.
I saw that. That was funny.
With a hot Kathleen Turner.
Yes.
All right. National Lampoon Vacation.
Hilarious. I love all of them.
Okay. Now here's one I think is overrated. I don't get it. And it's too weird to be funny. The Big Lebowski.
I find it funny. I don't find it as funny as everybody else does.
It's too weird to be funny.
Yeah, it's a little out there.
All right. Now, Austin Powers. You find those funny?
I love
really?
Austin Powers.
All right. Now, Brian, Austin Powers, when you first see it, funny. Second time, not so funny.
I didn't think Austin Powers was funny the first time I saw
really?
It.
Really?
I thought it was like, that's kind of corny.
No, and then it gets funnier.
Nah.
All right. How do you feel about Napoleon Dynamite?
I mean, it had some funny moments, but I
overrated.
I'm not
totally overrated.
Tina, eat your ham.
That is Napoleon Dynamite's totally overrated. All right, how about this one? This is the last one I got. A Fish Called Wanda. Totally hilarious.
I was over at a friend's house last week, and they were showing me they had this Sharknado marathon on TV. Have you seen this movie?
No, but I've heard people rave about it.
She was telling me that, you know, it's so great. It's such a good
movie. Campy.
Yeah, but you know, it's so bad that you have to love it. And I'm like, yeah, no good. I can't get past it. I couldn't even watch it. It was unbearable.
All right.
Terrible movie.
Go see The Jerk, Natalie.
Okay.
Yeah. Steve Martin's raised by a black family on a farm.
Oh, God.
And they send him out into the world. It's hysterical. It's really hysterical.
I'll have to look at what year is that from?
80.
80? Okay.
Yeah, something like that. All right, let's go to Yance in West Oak Lane. Yance, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Yance.
Yo, what's going on, Mike?
What's going on, Yance?
Not much. It's Ace Ventura, Pet Detective is the best comedy of all time.
I like it. People say I don't like silly movies. That's totally silly, but I like it.
Yeah, I love that joint. But anyway, I was just calling to give you an update. I was in a bad car accident. I'm alive, though.
Oh, good,
man.
I got
two broken ribs and a broken nose, and I'm still coming to FanFest tomorrow.
Oh,
you're not stopping me, all right?
That is fantastic, man. Yants, we'll look for
you. All right. No problem. You'll see me. I might have my New York hat on, so you might see me, all right?
All right.
that's all I really wanted. Just hope y'all Eagles have a good season. Hope y'all go like 12-4, and I'll see you tomorrow.
Yeah, is the nose healed?
Yeah, well, it's not completely healed.
You got like tape on it or something so we can recognize?
No, but I'll put some tape on it so you can see me. I'll put a Band-Aid on my nose.
Yeah, put some tape on it. So I know
it's
you.
I got you, brother.
All right. See you. Let's go to Dave in Center City. Dave!
When Brian is in on a rainy Friday, it appears to be sunny out.
Is it still raining out there?
No, it just cleared up.
Guess what? 80 degrees and sunny tomorrow for FanFest.
You couldn't ask for. Oh, by the way, Colgate has a better defense than the Baltimore Ravens. They only gave up 3 TDs last year. All of last year, so it's not going to be a walk in the park.
Right now, I'm betting Colgate.
I would. Getting back to Biz, what time is meet and greet for the 18th tomorrow? I heard 3 o'clock, I heard 4 o'clock. Which is it?
4.
It's 4 o'clock.
4 o'clock?
Yeah, meet and greet is at 4 o'clock tomorrow.
Yes.
Sweet.
Yes.
Brian, I am almost positive you're going into the Hall of Fame the conventional way, but now, with the NFL celebrating its 100th year anniversary, they're going to induct 20 new members into the Hall in 2020. So, Mr. Westbrook, get fitted for a new Nino Cerruti suit. We'll be seeing you in Canton, Ohio, my friend.
Oh, look at that.
Hey, listen, I would love to sit here and tell you that that's a high probability. I will be the first to tell you that it's not very high. I appreciate you saying that, though. It's hard to get into the Pro Football Hall of Fame with the type of career that I had. From this standpoint, when you talk about running backs, you want to see running numbers. The passing numbers are kind of secondary. And it's just so hard. And the other thing you have to do, you have to be good over a long period of time. I was pretty good. I just wasn't good enough over a long period of time, a long enough time. And that's why it's going to be pretty hard for me to get into the Hall.
Which brings me to my next point. All right, Brian, don't answer this question. 18, you have 5 seconds to answer this question. If you get it right, I'll give you a crisp $100 bill tomorrow at FanFest. What was Brian Westbrook's number when he played for the 49ers? 5 seconds.
I don't know.
Go ahead, Brian.
Sorry. Brian, what was your number?
Number 20. So really,
you were 20. You went back to your college number.
Went back to my college number. Ended my career like I started it in college. It was pretty cool.
Oh, that's pretty sentimental of you.
Yeah, it was pretty cool.
All right, so Colgate is a favorite tomorrow.
Well, they're going to lose.
Against Nova. See, I think Nova's lost its edge because that Schwankville has been built now.
Yeah, they had a lot going on over there.
Yeah, it's open now. The big stone mansions on the other side of Lancaster Avenue, open for business for the kids coming in the fall.
This is what I have faith in. I have faith in the head coach, Mark Ferranti. I have faith that he's going to turn things around. And the biggest thing that's hurt them over the last 2 years is health. They couldn't get healthy enough. They had a bunch of guys getting hurt in preseason, early on in the season. And I think that changed this year. So I certainly wish my boys good luck.
Did they raise the tuition over there, Nova, because of those
You better believe it. I would just assume that every year they raise a doggone tuition.
It looks beautiful. I have to say that. Have you seen the completed project?
No, I haven't been over there recently.
It's really pretty amazing. They're gonna have some restaurants in there and some retail and all that.
That's pretty cool, man. I mean, listen, it's a big time school right now, especially with the basketball program doing what they've done in the last few years.
Yeah.
I wouldn't expect anything less.
You can actually park over there now.
Yeah, big time parking issue over there when I was
there. Yeah, there was. All right, so take a break. 610-622-0975. Back after this.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
47, Mike Missinelli Show, 97.5 The Fanatic. By the way, I forgot when we had Tim on. He has a tremendous story on Carson Wentz today, ESPN.com. So I advise people to go to the website and and Reed McManus' story on Carson Wentz. Brian Westbrook is still with us until 5. The Colgate line is going up to -4.
Whoa.
Colgate's favorite, bigger. Bro.
Hold on.
It's a home game for Colgate, man. That's
not that good now.
I don't know. The people betting Colgate, the Colgators here. -4. Let's go to Steve in South Jersey. Steve, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Steve.
Hey, Mike. Hey, Brian. Hey, guys.
What's up, Steve?
Hey. Listen, I want to share a quick story with you at Penn State I think you'll appreciate because you got me wound up when I heard you earlier.
Yeah.
All right. When I was younger, my mother, I'm trying to make this quick. My mother got ill, so I moved with my aunt and my cousin Buddy up to Northeast Philly. Now, he was just graduating out of Penn State. He got a degree in veterinarians, got a little ranch hospital up there.
Oh, nice.
2 blocks from the Liberty Bell. That's where they lived on DeMarco Drive.
Uh-huh.
Okay, now, here's the story. Huge Penn State fans. So my dream was to go to a Penn State game. He's 6 years older than me. So one day I heard my mom on the phone saying, get Stevie together, this and that, blah, 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 blah. So I get off the phone and said, pack a bag. You're going with your cousin Buddy on a trip. Now, this is in the 70s. Next thing I know, he just buys a brand new Corvette, okay? So we're driving. I said, where are we going, cousin Buddy? Now, my cousin Buddy's 6'6", and he's a fourth-degree black belt on top of the veterinarian. He said, I'm taking you to your first Penn State game. It was the Sugar Bowl against Alabama. Now, the moral to this story is, as such a fan I am, we get to the game and everything. It was like a dream come true. We were like 4 rows from the floor. Great game. You know, we got to the Sugar Bowl up there and, we're coming back and we're talking about the game and everything. And it was just a reminder of how big of a Penn State fan I am. And when Franklin came on, here's my point. When Franklin came on, the coach that went to the NFL kind of had, after the Jerry scandal.
Yeah,
you know,
Bill O'Brien.
Yeah, kind of had the team in the right direction. They were like top 10 recruits for like a couple years. 2 years in a row, that man makes a couple good calls. We're in the talk for a national championship. Okay?
So yeah, I get you. Steve, you got to get to your point here with the Eagles quickly.
Okay.
The point with the
Eagles is I agreed with what man said. We got a guy back there now that, hey, at least we know he could step in there if we need him if Wentz gets hurt.
All right, brother. Thank you. Appreciate it. I don't know where Cousin Buddy figured in all that.
I was waiting for the Cousin Buddy story.
Yeah, but it was just a prelude to him trashing the head coach of Penn State. All right, that was his main point.
Oh.
So Cousin Buddy didn't figure that, did he?
I don't know.
Cousin Buddy has a fourth-degree black belt, and we learned he was a vet. But I don't know
how he had a ranch.
Penn State football.
Hey, Mike, let me tell you this. A couple of things. I'm looking at my notes from the game, and I'm sorry to be bringing it up at the end of the hour. It was a couple good things I saw last night. Mm-hmm. Jason Peters moving around flawlessly.
Yeah, he was.
Looks to be back to where he was at before the injury. So that's a good sign. Obviously, Jason Kelce, same type of thing. Moving around, getting into the second level, running, all those things. Looks really, really good. I think Brandon Graham is going to have a big impact this season. He'll be helpful. I think Vinny Curry, and I don't think, I'm not going to sit here and tell you Vinny's going to have 10 sacks. I think Vinny Curry is going to help in the run game, stop the run, but also think he's disruptive. I thought he was disruptive before he left. I think he'll be disruptive this year for this football team as well.
How about the other side? Did you see anything there?
The other side of what?
The other side of the defensive line?
Well, Brandon Graham's on the other side.
Yeah, but as far as the backups go.
Yeah, I mean, those young guys, I mean, it's just so hard to watch. It's hard because you don't know who they're going against. Are these guys actual NFL talent?
Yeah, I actually think Hall played well again, I thought.
Hall has been solid. He has been solid. I think that he can be a specialty rusher. You put him on the field on third down, especially in the second, third quarter when you want to get your guys some rest. I think he can help you just a bit. I think Sweat still has some things to show us. I think he has to get, and I don't know if he's 100% healthy, but I think that, you know, he still has some ways to go. Both of those guys can be specialty rushers, though. I wouldn't put them in a rundowns because they're smaller guys, but I certainly believe that both of those guys can be specialty rushers.
Now, Sharif Miller hasn't shown anything in preseason, but they're going to have to keep him on the roster. That's why I think the number of defensive linemen they're going to have to keep is going to be 10. They can't put him on a practice squad as a draft pick.
Yeah, no, they got to keep him, of course, yeah. And he'll work his way through practice and get better.
All right, so what else did you see as far as the overall team quality? Do you believe, like I believe, that this is the deepest team they've assembled in a long time?
Well, they have some talent. I think it was good to see J.J. Ortega-Whiteside.
Ortega. Yeah, it's Ortega.
Ortega-Whiteside. That gives me a little confidence if something happens to DeSean Jackson that we have someone to fill in there, give us a little something else. He's not going to be quick. He's not going to overwhelm you with his speed. However, he will go up and catch a football. He runs decent routes. He will be open in the middle of the field. That's exciting. I think this is a deep team. And, you know, you need depth as far as when you're playing a 16-game season and guys are going to get beat up, get hurt, and we have a bunch of guys that have been hurt. I'm concerned about Lane Johnson. I'm concerned his ability not to finish things out in the preseason, and hopefully he gets healthy. But I also believe that Lane Johnson is just a tough dude and that no matter what, he'll be out there for every game this season. And so I think he's built that way. But listen, this team has a lot of talent, has a lot of potential. And now it comes down to how much better can they get between now and the first regular season game, and how good they're able to translate the things they're able to do in practice this past week against the Ravens into the regular season.
All right. Brian Westbrook joining us every Friday on Football Friday. Thanks, Brian. Have a great weekend.
All right. Thank you.
There he is. Brian Westbrook, brought to us by, yeah, you're great people at Landis Block. It's your jaw-dropping backyard paradise online. Check it out online at landisbc.com. The 5 o'clock hour, the final hour on FanFest Eve, coming your way right here. Mike Mussinelli, Show 97.5 The Fanatic. I will also repeat the 5 o'clock hour, the agenda for tomorrow if you're coming to FanFest, and what you can look forward to at the time that you get there. All right, back after this.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.